Hi everyone, this is Glenn Keane, and you are listening to the Animation Attic podcast with the Rotoscopers. They are awesome.
You're listening to the Animation Attic's podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 82, interview with the amazing Glenn Keane.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts podcast with the Rotoscopers. We've got Disney, we've got DreamWorks, we've got Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. But most importantly today, Glenn Keane. I am your host, Mason Smith. I will be emceeing this episode. You'll have to excuse Morgan. She could not be here for this episode, unfortunately. But we also want to welcome Chelsea onto the show.
Yay.
Yay, Chelsea.
I'm so happy to be here, man. This is so exciting.
Holy cow, I haven't been this pumped. Well, I'm always super pumped to record on the show, but this is a special episode, guys.
Yeah, it is.
We haven't done a straight up interview on the Animation Addicts podcast in a while, but we felt that this was so special that we just had to have it on the original show. And as you can tell by the title and everything that we've been leading up, we're interviewing the Glenn Keane, talking about Duet, his brand new hand-drawn animated short that he produced for Google's ATAP group for the Motorola phones. Now, I don't know about you, but ATAP sounds like a machine from like Star Wars or something. ATAP. Send in the ATAPs. Maybe I should have said ATAP. Anyway, it is the third in Google's Spotlight Stories series. And so these are like interactive animated shorts where you can take your Moto X and whatever phone. I don't have one, unfortunately. I think it works on Android.
They will be working on all Androids here soon.
Good, good. And so you take your phone and you can control the camera while you watch it. Now, I knew that you could like pan around, but Chelsea, did you say that they could like zoom in and out on the action?
I believe so, yeah, because you can go from one person to the next. So
right.
You can... Maybe I'm totally wrong with that. Was I? I haven't seen it either.
Okay. All we know, because we don't have Android phones. We're weirdos.
I do have an Android phone, but I don't have one. It hasn't come to my phone yet. And I'm so sad,
shucks.
But I really am so excited to see this. Basically what it is, it's double helix of two stories going on at the same time. And you are able to pan over to one side or the next and kind of just go back and forth between these two simultaneously driven stories that kind of intertwine with each other. Basically, it's a love story between two people as they meet, or basically as they grow up and then kind of interchange. You know, it's like they meet here and there and then, you know, they end up together at the end. Oh, it's just so sweet. So yeah. I'm really excited to see it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
Yeah, the result is just under 4 minutes long, but it's over 10,000 drawings, individual drawings. And what Mr. Keene did with this short was he actually, instead of drawing on ones, that is 24 frames per second, he drew in 60 frames per second. So it was like HD, 60 FPS. Totally incredible feat. And so we're going to have him on in just a second. We're going to talk about Duet, technical challenges that went into it, the inspiration behind it. And we're going to learn a little more about Glenn Keene himself. And just a disclaimer, we only had a little bit of time to talk to him, unfortunately. And I'm really ed up about it. But we tried to make it as good as an interview as possible. Unfortunately, he had to leave after about 45 minutes. And so this is a shorter interview, but we promise we will try to get him on the show again sometime in the future. Yes. Sound good?
Sounds good. All right, guys, let's go.
This is the moment you've all been waiting for. We've been kind of hyping this up all week because we're just so excited to have this person on the show. I don't think we've had such a high profile and well-known figure in the world of animation since Don Bluth was on the show way back when. And so it is me and Chelsea's utmost pleasure to introduce to y'all Mr. Glenn Keene.
Yay!
Hello. It's great to be here, Chelsea and Mason. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is dream come true moments. Like, whoa.
We're totally.
I loved your podcast on Radigan.
on Great Mouse Detective. Hey, thank you so much for listening. You never know who's listening to our podcast.
Well, you mentioned, does he listen? Nah, he doesn't. So that's why I sent, did you get my email I sent to you guys?
We did.
Yeah, Morgan sent it to us. I only have one question, Glenn. Did you like my Radigan Vincent Price impression? Was it okay or not?
I thought I was the only one that kind of just found Vincent Price's voice so mesmerizing that you just can't stop repeating his little phrases, and he was just so wonderful. It was like listening to his expressions, and the tone of his voice was like fine wine or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Really wonderful. Yeah, I loved it. It was fun listening to him again through you.
Oh, shucks. Well, thank you so much for your kind words. That means a lot to us. And I should always be careful for what I wish for on the podcast. although I should probably start wishing more, because then I could be like, oh, golly, I wonder if John Lasseter ever listens to us. Hint, hint. You know, get some other people on the show.
Well, John should come on.
Oh, thanks. I'll take that as a recommendation. I'll send that up to him. Yeah, we usually have a lot of fun on these interviews. I don't know if you listen to one of our interview podcasts, but these are really fun. So,
well, I figure everything you do sounds like it's going to be fun.
Shucks.
I was so impressed. It was so wonderful to hear, somebody who gets such joy out of the characters and the animation. I mean, because when we're working on it, we put every part of our being into those films. Whether they do well or whether they do poorly, it doesn't matter. You still live in the skin of the characters that you create, and they're part of you out there. And to hear your genuine enthusiasm and just thoughts about the film was absolutely a gift for me. And I just want to thank you for what you both do on the Rotoscopers.
Oh man, you're gonna make me cry, Glenn.
Thank you so much.
That means a lot to us coming from you, seriously. And unfortunately, our other host, Morgan, couldn't make it today. But she wants you to know that she is a longtime fan of yours. And it's actually, if I could say something a little modest here, Morgan's kind of the mastermind of the whole thing. And we really owe a lot to her as far as like the show and how special it is. But yeah, we love animation, and we're just so thrilled to have you on the show today.
Thank you then to Morgan for making all of this happen. You obviously are one of these people that are a gift to the animation world. Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
You know, though, right. It comes across, though, Glenn, like every time that we watch any of these things, I think that's one of the reasons why we do love it so much, is because there's no way you could create something like that without having so much of your being in it. And I don't know, I think that's something that Disney's always been really good at, because you guys know that, you know, it could be something awesome, and or it might not, you know, get as far as others, but either way, you're still going to put everything into it, and it comes across.
Well, there's no small moment in a Disney movie or any movie, whether it, I mean, as an artist, this is our moment. This is our time to express ourselves. As I said before, if it was 500 years ago, we'd be talking about building cathedrals or painting frescoes. But it's today, and our cathedrals happen to be films that are projecting 24 images per second, or 60, up on a screen, and it's moving drawings that move people. But this is our art form, and this is our moment as artists, and there's no way to not throw your heart and soul into everything you do. And, you know, like animators who work with me have different times. If they're a new animator, they get the smaller moments in a film. And I can always tell the ones who really get it, that they embraced, even if it's just a tiny little character in the background walking by, they don't look at it as like, well, all I got was that shot. Instead, they are like, oh, I just want to make this the best thing I can possibly imagine. And you know that those are the ones that are going to do great, because whether it's small or big, they see it as a moment to be themselves up on the screen, to live in the skin of the character. And it shows.
Yeah, wow.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We are
the Real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of The Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why The Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the Real Brady Bros.
Well, we are, like I said, we're just super excited today. And to start off this interview, we want to talk about your recent work, Duet, on for Moto X and for the Google ATAP team. But first, we want to kind of get to know you a little bit better. And we didn't really prep you for this, and that was on purpose. We do this segment called Catch and Fire on the show when we interview people. And it's a series of rapid fire questions that you have to answer as quickly as possible so that we can get to know you better. And we try to keep it fun, not uncomfortable. And so,
I'm already uncomfortable.
So. Oh, no. Good. That's actually part of Catch and Fire. But Chelsea, do you want to do the Catch and Fire questions?
I would love to. Yeah.
All right. So remember, Glenn, try to answer these as quickly as possible. And it's just a rapid fire get to know you.
OK.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, then, how about a quick round of Catch and Fire? Catch and Fire? You mean me? You're the only one with enough courage.
What is the first animated movie you remember seeing?
Wow. Popeye with Sinbad. And it was this three-dimensional scene where Popeye is walking across the shot, and you see these big, like, pterodactyl birds moving by in perspective, and this bird takes off the cliff. I don't know if you saw it, but I will never forget the dimension and the believability of that moment. It was the most magic thing I will never forget, and it's imprinted in every scene that I've ever animated since then, the sense of dimension.
Nice. What was your favorite cartoon growing up?
Growing up, there was this weird one called Twinkles, and it was, oh gosh, there was this thing, it was like the character would go back in time and deal with some sort of event in history, and the character at that moment would, in order to get out of that situation, there was always some crisis, he would say, "Help, Mr. Wizard, I don't want to be a knight in King Arthur's table anymore." And boop, he would come back. That was my favorite show. I don't know, you don't even remember what the name of it is now. It's just one of those cool things I remember.
Huh, we'll have to look into that one. All right, what is your favorite animated movie?
Peter Pan. It was the moment that all of the nine old men were at their prime. And it was, I just love flying. I have flying dreams, and it's all about that.
Favorite animator / artist?
I guess Frederick Bach, for me. He's kind of the epitome of everything that I aspire to as an animator.
Classic animation or CGI?
Classic.
Favorite animation studio?
Glenn Keane Productions.
There you go.
Hello.
Disney or Pixar?
Disney.
Disneyland or Disney World?
Disneyland.
Disney princesses or princes?
Princesses.
Favorite animated villain?
Oh gosh, can I say Ratigan?
Sure.
Yes, you can.
Stitch or Tinkerbell?
Tinkerbell.
Mickey, Goofy, or Donald?
Donald, I guess.
Favorite character that you've animated?
Ariel.
People or anthropomorphic?
People.
Songs in animation or no songs?
Songs.
There you go. Who would win in a fight? This is very important. Aladdin or Tarzan?
Tarzan.
Hey, awesome.
Snow White or Sleeping Beauty?
Sleeping Beauty.
All right. And here's our final question, probably the most important of all. Which movie would you rather watch? Return of Jafar or Cinderella 3?
Cinderella 3, I guess.
Oh, man. See, we're the podcast that asks the hardest questions. We're real tough.
Out of 52. Well done.
All right. Hey, thanks. We certainly know. Yeah, that's it.
That's
pretty
it.
Painless, huh?
Oh, man. Hey, sorry. I took too long on those first questions, but, you know.
No, those are awesome.
So we y'all actually reached out to us with a press release for Duet, and that's your new animated short, hand-drawn, totally awesome. And it was released for the Moto X series. It's been described as an interactive animated story. And so cool. I've seen the videos of people moving the camera around for Windy Day, but I got to see kind of a straight cut of Duet. You know, not really someone moving the camera around, but such a touching, emotional love story. So, what was your inspiration for the story of Duet, Glenn?
Well, when I went up there to Google. They showed me this phone, and it was a interactive device where you look through the screen. My first thought was, well, that's a really tiny screen. Why would I want to trade in a big screen for that little thing? But I realized when I looked through it, it wasn't a screen. It was a window into like an infinite world and potentially the largest screen possible. And then you had the camera as a viewer and could choose to look wherever you wanted to go. And the animation had to be in service of the freedom of the viewer. And it was such a mind-boggling way of thinking about animation. And when Regina Dugan, who headed up this research division at Google, said, so Glenn, what would you do with this? I knew that it was going to be hand-drawn, and I knew it was going to be about two lives intersecting, because you could follow one direction, and it was going to be in a circular thing in my mind, and you could follow the other one, and they would continue to cross paths. And I love stories that have destiny in them. There's a purpose that we're created for, and I love the design of that in characters that I animate. And so there's certain things that I knew the beginning, but then I thought, well, but what I said to Regina, so, well, what is it that you want? I mean, you know, do you have some thoughts about what you guys are looking for? And she said, well, we just want you to make something beautiful and emotional. So, well, I mean, that's wonderful. But like, okay, so what are you selling though? What's the catch here?
Yeah.
She said, well, there is no catch. This is going to be free from Google. It's just going to arrive on people's phones. All we want is for you to push yourself creatively, and that will push us technologically. I mean, this is music to your ears, you know, for any artist, for any animator. So I took the challenge and went to Lake Arrowhead, where we have a house up in the mountains and a studio, and I had my son Max, who's a production designer, and Jenny Rim, my producer, come up, and we developed this short little idea of these two babies and watching them grow. And these ideas, it's just something I've learned from my dad, who's a cartoonist for the Family Circus. It was, take what you love, the people you love, take your own life and put that out there. Be open yourself up and share who you are. And so this whole story was really, you know, inspired by my own grandchildren, about my own life, my path, meeting my wife. I mean, there's so many aspects of it that I related to. It's a very sincere, genuine, hopeful idea that there is a course and a path for us to follow that leads us right to where we're meant to be. The idea that it was going to be hand-drawn was really important for me. I mean, I've spent, you know, 40 years in animation, but no one has ever seen my drawings.
Yeah.
It's only cleanup that's up on the screen. I mean, and cleanup is wonderful. The artists have to be incredible, but there's still something in that original moment, the actual act of animating in rough pencil, there's an energy that that is communicated by that I really wanted that to be up on the screen sometime. But at Disney, for years, they you know what they did with all the rough? The original drawings were shredded after every film. Ooh, were destroyed.
Ouch.
From Yikes. Snow White, Pinocchio, Bambi, all of the original drawings have been destroyed because they valued the cleanup drawings. To me, which was like, what? This is, how could you do that?
Oh,
and
man.
At one point, I remember on The Fox and the Hound, management came into my office and loaded up all of the drawings from the bear fight and everything I had done, and were wheeling it out of my office. And I mean, a huge pile of stuff. And I said, well, where are you going with that? He said, well, we're going to shred it. Like,
yikes.
What? Oh, no, my gosh.
No, you're not going to know. So I took it all back and I took it into my car that night and drove it home and put it in my garage. And for the next, until Little Mermaid came, I kept all of my animation that I did in my garage because they weren't being kept. They were being destroyed up to that point. And then there is a shift, and all the animation from that point on was preserved and kept in archives at Disney.
Yeah.
But I've always felt that in the original drawings, there is emotion. I see drawing as like a seismograph of my soul in a way, and it communicates and it says something personal. And that's what this whole little film was going to be, a celebration of lying. I mean, the look of it, my son Max, who was our production designer, at one point I'd done this little animation and he took it and he scanned it and he said, what do you think of this? And I looked and it was just something, I'd never seen anything like it. He'd taken the line, the graphite line off the paper and floated it in space and turned it into light and created an atmosphere around it. And it just elevated drawing so that you appreciated it with new eyes. It was unlike anything I'd seen before.
Wow. Yeah. I noticed that they are your drawings in this short, like your drawings come to life and everything's very gestural and everything's very, I wouldn't say rough because that would just be saying the opposite of the, you know, the cleanup techniques used in traditional animation. And I did have a question. So why the graphite? Is that just something that an animator uses traditionally for their original drawings? I'm not really well versed in that. Because I noticed in the making of video, they talked about the graphite being, when you looked at it real close, there were these star galaxies of the graphite texture on the paper that came out real well in the short.
Yeah, well, for one thing, my assistant, Sarah Harris, she and I drew all the animation in that. And it was, we also had a couple other assistants that came in to help towards the end, but predominantly it was Sarah and I that just did thousands and thousands. I mean, over 10,000 drawings in there, and it's pencil because that's the most immediate expressive way for me to get my emotions out for you to see and feel. I mean, I love drawing on paper. There's something that happens. I mean, like I can draw on a Cintiq, but that's not a graphite line. That's a digital line. Graphite is a very unique thing. The other day, Max was watching his 2-year-old son, Henry, draw. And he said, Dad, you know, Henry's got a great line. He said, do you realize that every line that is made on paper is a unique creative moment never to be repeated in history? And it's true, because if you expand that line, if you look at really close in a microscope, it is like a star field of graphite dust. Every line is unique placement. And one of the things that was the biggest challenge in Duet, that technological side, was the compression of the data, because this has to actually work on a phone interactively. So they actually have to produce the image in an instant, wherever you look, it has to be ready and to appear. That means they've got to reproduce that line in an instant. Well, in CG, it's all vectors. So you are following a path of a vector line and it's predictable. And it's mathematically predictable, therefore it's easier to condense and reproduce. A graphic line, is much more complex because every line is unique. And all of those little speckles of dust, of graphite dust, are unpredictable. And they needed to compress enormous amounts of data to do that. I had no idea. I don't think they did either at the beginning what this was going to mean. I mean, that was one of the technological challenges that we were faced with, and the creative team at Google under Rashid El-Ghirab, who created the technical side of, you know, their team, he led that team. I mean, they were every bit as creative in their programming and writing code as we were in our drawing.
Amazing.
Side of it to you?
Yeah, that is really amazing, because as you think about it, like because in the movie you're able to like zoom in and zoom out and get closer and closer, and for that you do have to have so much more. I mean, anything with video, it's like you have to have a lot of compression in there to be able to, it's just a lot of space and a lot. And for it to just kind of like show up on your phone, it's kind of amazing. So do you think that, I mean, as far as you've had the opportunity to work now with many different types of technology, as well as with, you know, just the graphite pencil, what do you think is going to be happening as far as, do you think this is something that will be just redone over and over?
Well, the technology is really it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think at this point Google understands what they've got. Yeah. I'm still just figuring it out. We're all just trying to understand what the heck have we done?
Yeah.
What is this? It's a scary thing as a filmmaker to put the camera into the hands of the audience, because we're so much about composition, composing the shots so you enjoy and understand the story we're trying to tell. And to take that and to put that in the hands of the audience, you give up control. Jan Pinkava, who created the first one of these little films called Windy Day, it was a CG version,
yes,
a CG film, kept encouraging Max and Jenny and I to dive in headfirst, give the freedom of movement to the audience. And I learned that rather than control the audience, we were coaxing them to where we wanted them to look. And that means that the audience is invested. They become personally connected to the show because they are conducting it in a sense. And yet we very much wanted to take them on a journey, an emotional one that led them somewhere. So it's not just like a video game where you can go and get lost. You are actually directed to a final path. If somebody does get lost, we added a little butterfly to bring you back to the characters so that you would never get lost and we've always waiting for you. I think that the ground that we've discovered or cleared, and that Jan Pinkava has really pioneered, is a transferable art form that is going to be rediscovered and used by other talent in new ways. The audience, it just came out like about a week and a half ago, started to arrive on some of the Androids.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it will be on all the Androids and on all phones, ultimately, where it arrives as a, I guess in the palm of your hand. I mean, it's a very intimate thing. People were getting it at 3 a.m, which is a really surprising way to suddenly to be hearing back from people who are looking at your animation at 3 a.m. in bed. Like one couple had been wanting to have a baby for a long time and that she wasn't able to get pregnant. And they saw this 3 a.m, this animation arrived and this little dancing ballerina came across and they watched it. It was all about the birth of a child. And they said, this is a providential moment here. This is a message from God. We are going to have a baby. Next morning she went and she tested and she was pregnant. So they sent us this email thanking us for the blessing of that. Now we're going to have a disclaimer. Just may cause pregnancy or something like that.
Absolutely.
No, but there's something really intimate about this. And you think about, I was at Disney and I knew that something new was coming for me, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Ed Catmull asking me, "So, well, Glenn, what do you want? What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, Ed, I just want to live without walls." He said, "What does that mean?" I said, "You know, I'm not exactly sure, but the world is huge. And there are so many artists out there that I want to connect and touch, and audiences that I want to be able to connect with. And I feel like I want to be creating in a space that doesn't have the big studio walls." And my wife at one point said, well, where do you want to go? Where would you go? And I said, I don't know, maybe like Google. I don't know. They're unique. They're like they're connecting to in the palm of the hand of every human being on the planet. Everybody that's got a phone has got Google on it. I just wondered what it would be like to be an artist with them. And it really was one of these steps of faith to leave Disney at that point, not knowing what was coming. And next thing I knew, I was having dinner with a couple friends, and one of them, Doug Sweetland, was telling me about this animation he was doing with Doug Sweetland. And before I knew it, I was up there in Silicon Valley meeting with Google and Regina Dugan, and I was off and running.
That's really exciting. That's really exciting. So as I'm listening to you, I was hearing, you know, from the past couple interviews that we've done with a couple different people, and a lot of them are having these exact same things. Like they're wanting something a lot more interactive, a lot more like person to person. And I think it's just really cool to see that, you know, so many people are on that same wavelength and just moving this whole thing forward. I really do believe that that is going to be a huge part of our future.
I think so. I mean, this idea of hand-drawn CG, it's just another tool, another way of expressing it. I have felt that hand-drawn would never go away.
Yeah.
That it is because of the computer that it has been freed to become itself. I found that anytime technology has crossed my path, it's forced me to become a better artist animating. Well, the first CG animation with John Lasseter and I on this little Wild Things test back in 82.
Right.
To Tarzan with Deep Canvas, you have to think more dimensionally. And I've always thought that the look of traditional animation, what we think of as hand-drawn, is really a look that was developed because of a technical limitation, painting on cells and cleaning it up. And we're no longer held back by that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you took an artist like Degas and asked him today, like brought him back from the dead and didn't show him any animation, no Disney films, nothing, but showed him what's possible with the technology, what would he do? Where would he take this art form? What can it become?
Yeah.
I feel like we have to free ourselves from what has been like the expected look of hand-drawn and let it become something entirely new. In a lot of ways, CG has taken the mantle of hand-drawn, which is a much more controlled, structured kind of environment. Hand-drawn should be much more free and expressive. Like Duet, if I had to coin a phrase what it would look like, I how to describe what Duet is, I'd say more of a visual poem. It's a different thing than a linear traditional story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Glenn, the story of the production of Duet and just how you formed it creatively is super inspiring, and we're going to definitely promote Duet and encourage all of our fans and listeners to check out Duet if they haven't already. So yeah, thank you for your comments on that. I feel like we've definitely learned a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there's so much we would like to ask you, Glenn, but unfortunately we're just so limited with our time. Do you have time for one or two questions from our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. And we got like probably 50 replies on this when we asked, hey, would you like to ask Glenn Keane something? And it was like a huge flood of people. So we're only able to pick a few of them. Okay, this one is from Thomas Van Acker out of Belgium. So you have to answer in Belgian.
Okay.
Thomas asks, what do you think is the most important aspect of animation that should be taught by teachers?
Okay. I remember for me when I was starting, I needed to learn two things. One, I needed somebody to explain the principles, squash and stretch, anticipation, exaggeration, all of those things have to be taught. Those are the ABCs. I mean, you, in order to learn to write a poem, you have to start with the language structure. That's what that is. You learn the skills of animation And there's a lot of just study and discipline that goes into that. On the other hand, just as important is the sincerity that is the most difficult thing to teach. I remember when I started at Disney, Eric Larson, one of the nine old men, was constantly saying, the key to Disney animation is sincerity.
Oh, wow.
What the heck does that mean? And I remember my very first scene I had was a tiny little animation of Bernard I was animating. And he was in the, it was in the first Rescuers, and he's sweeping on the floor of the United Nations building. And just a tiny little character, a whole bunch of characters. But I thought single-handedly I was going to destroy the entire reputation of Disney with that. This was my first scene I'd ever animated. And I struggled for like weeks with this action of a sweeping action, trying to figure that out. And I was crashing and burning with it. Finally, I went in and asked Eric for help, and thinking he was going to give me some a technical formula for that kind of an action. And he said, well, Glenn, what kind of a guy is Bernard? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, does he want to, what kind of a job does he want to do? Does he want to do a good job? Sure he does. He wants to sweep up every speck of dust off that floor. He puts his whole heart and soul into this. This little guy cares about what he... And he started talking like Bernard was a real person. And I, at that point, I realized, hey, this guy isn't even the animator of the scene, but in an instant, he was living in the skin of that character. And that's what sincerity means, is to believe in the character that you are animating. To live in the skin of them.
Yeah. I mean, so sincerity, huh?
Sincerity is that other thing. You've got the foundational skills of animation, but the sincerity is something that a teacher has to have himself to communicate that. You get that passed on from one heart to another. It's not something from the head. That's the question, and that's the answer to that question in my mind.
Excellent. Thank you so much. One last question. This is from our listener, Bridget Monica. She says, what story that hasn't been done would you love to see transformed into a full-length animated film?
Well, I am doing that now.
Oh.
give that away. But
hypothetically,
I'm going to have to, why don't you ask me another question, because I don't want to really go down that path.
Absolutely.
Okay. I have one, actually.
Oh, go for it, Chels.
Yeah, a little bit ago, you were talking about how when you animate, you like thinking that it's something like a sense of destiny, like we were created for something. And we had another question from Jessica Worski, and she asked, what role does faith play in your creative life? And I feel like that kind of goes along with that.
Well, for me, my faith is incredibly important. It was really at Disney where... I think I found myself really asking important, deep questions, not only about my art, but who I was, my relationship with God. And I had a good friend, Ron Husband, who shared with me his faith in Jesus Christ. And at that point, I really made a deep commitment of my heart that this idea that God had created me, and that at a certain point, God had even come to the planet in the person of Christ. And my whole goal in life was ultimately to live in his design and to live my life for him. And early on, I decided, okay, what does animation have to do with anything so incredibly important as your spiritual life? And so I decided I was going to leave Disney and go to seminary. And I talked to my pastor at that time, and he said, well, Glenn, I don't know, secretly, I've always sort of wished that I was a lawyer, because then if I talk about my faith, people don't turn on their church ears. He said, you have a unique position. You should stay there. And this was like in my first year at Disney, really. So I thought, okay, I'm going to stay here and see what happens. And I found that in all the characters that I've animated, there is a way of expressing my faith in very personal, real ways that are underneath the surface. And it's obviously the driving force in my life. Animating a character like Ariel that believes the impossible is possible. I mean, here she is under the water and she falls in love with a guy that walks on land, that breathes air. What in the world is this girl thinking? This is not possible, but this is the realm of faith. And to animate characters that are not stopped by anything that somebody else might say is ridiculous and impossible. I find that I live that way all the time. Even leaving Disney was very much a step of faith. And I'm still living that way now.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for all your time, Glenn. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. Can we get you to do one last thing for us?
Sure.
All right. We got Don Bluth to do a custom intro to the podcast. Can we get you to do the same?
Well, I can't say I'm Don Bluth.
Okay. All right. But you can say you're Glenn Keane, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just say, hello, this is Glenn Keane. You're listening to the Animation Addicts podcast with the Rotoscopers.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Glenn Keane, and you are listening to the Animation Addict podcast with the Rotoscopers. They are awesome.
Oh, shucks. Perfect. That's a wrap. Thank you so much, Glenn. We really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you, Chelsea Mason. And thank you also to Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll pass that on to her.
Okay.
That was fantastic.
Oh, shucks. That was so sweet. You know, I was so depressed that we were going to run out of time, but I have a feeling that Glenn, I keep wanting to say Glenn Beck. I keep thinking that Mr. Glenn Keane is going to be on the show again sometime soon.
I totally think he will.
Oh, man. Well, we covered a lot of ground, shared a few laughs. I think that could possibly have been one of our greatest interviews ever.
If only we would have had another hour or so, that would have made everything even better. But
because there's so much to go into. For one, we got so many replies on the fan and listener questions from our friends. And we're so sorry that we could only ask three of them. One of them he didn't want to answer because that would have given away his current project. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this short but sweet interview with Glenn Keane. And we promise we will do everything we can to get him more involved in the podcast, because it sounds like he really likes us. And our friends who listen to us are a big part of that. So I feel good. If we could all have like a giant collective Rotoscopers group hug right now, that would just make my day.
It really, I think we already did.
That would just complete my universe
right now.
Big hug. Big hug.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for joining in once again to the Animation Addicts podcast. We will see you next time. And our next episode is going to be our Christmas episode. So come back and join us as we get to talk about one of Glenn Keane's other favorite characters, which was Willy the Giant.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So our next episode will be on Mickey's Christmas Carol. Bah, humbug. See, now we're going to start seeing Glenn Keane everywhere and everything we talk about.
He's already everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere.
He actually sent us an email that was fantastic and talked a lot about the episode we did on The Great Mouse Detective. And right at the very end, he's just like, we're listening. I was like, that's so ominous.
Like, who's we? The secret Disney Legends Illuminati are listening to us.
Oh, that was fantastic.
It really was. You never know who's listening to the Animation Addicts podcast.
Yeah, you just...
You never know. All right, folks, we hope you enjoy this episode. When you tweet about this awesome interview, on your social media, make sure to use the hashtag AnimAddicts. And then referring to this specific episode, use hashtag AnimAddicts82. This is our 82nd episode of this grandiose podcast that we love so much. For show notes, links, and more, visit us at rotoscopers.com/82. That will be the webpage for this particular episode. And make sure to go there because it kind of completes your whole like podcast experience with this episode, because we always put links. We always put stuff about all the tangents that we talk about, and we'll put links to Duet, to all the other videos in that series that that Google was working on. Really cool stuff. You can find us on Hypable and Animated Views. Also, very important, subscribe to us on iTunes. We are also available on Stitcher Radio. And just a word about iTunes, if you love the Rotoscopers and the Animation Addicts podcast, be sure to leave feedback and your positive reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate hearing what you think about the show. It helps us be better. It helps us keep going. And we're also on practically all social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a Tumblr.
Pinterest, if you want to,
oh yeah, Pinterest. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh sheesh. I don't even know how Pinterest works.
But there are Vine. Those that know. We are on Vine. Yeah.
We are. When all this happened.
We only have like one video up, but I mean, hey, I just got Vine on my Kindle, so I'll probably be posting something at some point.
Yeah, we also have a MySpace, a Zanga, and a LiveJournal, and a Tinder account.
Maybe not. Wait. But
okay. Anyway, don't forget to contact us if you so wish by email contact@rotoscopers.com. Pretty simple. You can always leave a voicemail. We love voicemails, right, Chelsea?
We so do. Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, we love hearing voicemail from our awesome friends, and fans and listeners. And
just like you guys get to know who we are, we get to know who you are. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we want to hear your beautiful voices, Smoker's cough and all. We haven't had anyone who had a smoker's cough. Rotoscopers.com/voicemails or call the number 406-646-6575. This episode is brought to you by our sponsors, Amazon.com and Audible.com. Amazon is, your go-to place for anything, especially around the shopping season for Christmas. Audible.com is a number one resource for audiobooks. And don't forget to... when you're doing your Christmas shopping, go through rotoscopers.com/Amazon. That'll take you through our Amazon affiliate link. And so you can do your shopping and help the Rotoscopers at the same time. It's a great way to help raise money for, for like the upkeep and the maintenance of the show. And we also have a Rotoscoper store. You can buy all your Rotoscopers merchandise, which right now is one t-shirt.
Woohoo!
$12 or $16 for an autographed shirt. That's right. You get... my autograph, Chelsea's autograph, and Morgan's autograph on a freaking awesome Rotoscoper shirt.
Which is really cool because Morgan, Mason, and I have never been in the same room before. So
it's practically the same thing.
It is.
As that.
You have more of a connection to all of us than we have a connection to each other.
Oh, that's sad, but crazy at the same time. Kind of like the movie Interstellar. Yeah, rotoscopers.com/store is where you can find those awesome t-shirts. We love to quote Disney films. Head over to disneyquotes.com for all your Disney quotes and soon to be all of animation quotes.
Yes.
Okay, and don't forget, we are still taking submissions for ideas for the Best of 2014 show. So make sure you leave a voicemail or send us an email telling us what parts of which episode you want to have featured on the Best of 2014 show. So, for example, you can write, hey, I really loved it when Mason did his Jim Cummings impression for the 48th time on the podcast. And so episode number, and then do a timestamp, this many hours, this many minutes, and this many seconds into the show. And that helps us pinpoint exactly what you're talking about. And if you haven't seen the Best of 2012, Best of 2013 shows, they're freaking awesome. And we're really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we are also going to be doing a Rotoscopers Awards on that one. That's mostly what it's going to be. And then it'll have a lot of best of moments that you guys have suggested and that we found as well. So make sure to go to the website, rotoscopers.com. And there's stuff coming up that's going to be posted in the next couple days, really, if it's not already posted, for you guys to vote on what you guys thought were the best of 2014 as far as the Rotoscopers Awards go.
Absolutely. And we are all over social media. That is us three individual hosts. You can find Morgan at Morgan Stradling. She's on Twitter, Instagram. Also on Twitter and Instagram, Chelsea Robson at Chelsea Robson. And then my handle's a little more complicated because that's just me. At Mason SMTX, you will find me on Twitter and Instagram. I post my art. I post funny stuff, I guess. And I got thisanimatedlife.blogspot.com is my blog. And then if you want to check out my portfolio, masonsmithportfolio.com. And now I deeply regret announcing that on the podcast because now possibly Glenn Keane is going to look at my stuff.
This is all good things, Mason. Good things.
Okay, okay. I'll brace myself for it. Thank you again so much for listening. This has been an incredible show, and we love to have you be a part of it. Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
All right. Have a good one, Glenn. Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you, Jenny.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, you guys, for making the time to meet with us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys, too.
Great.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Have a good day. Bye. This is their Facebook page, and all of these people are like excited to. This is all in response to your podcast with them.
Oh man, they really wanted more. It's too bad I couldn't have talked more with them, but that's me.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is really bad. Make sure you guys go ahead and hang up on us so that me and Chelsea can do the wrap up.
Yeah, I would have loved to.
Yeah.
Hey,
but we want to have you on soon, sometime later. How about that?
Great. I'd love to do that. We just started.
Excellent. Well, go ahead and hang up from our call, and me and Chelsea will do the wrap up.
Okay. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
See you guys.
That was fantastic.
Oh, shucks. That was so sweet.